The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Kay Murray, joined in the studio by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. And there is only one place to start. It has to be that thrilling draw between Manchester City and Liverpool. 2-2 it finished. Kevin De Bruyne opening the scoring. Diogo Jota levelling things out. Then City went ahead before the break through Gabriel Jesus. Right after the break, Salah and Mane combined to make it 2-2. And it is as you were in the table, just a point between the two. Seven games left and lots to discuss. So the implications of them coming away with a point apiece in this one as we now welcome in Nader Manua, Pablo Zabaleta and Craig Burley. But I do want to start with you, Stevie. What did you take away from this from the Liverpool perspective?
I don't think you can say that Liverpool were particularly good in the first half. At half-time, I was delighted that they were still in the game. You know, had City been three up, nobody could have complained. I mean, the dolly that Rodri tried to knock down to Stones from the set piece that he got wrong. You know, you got De Bruyne, who probably was the best player on the field. I can't believe he put that ball wide when he was clean and, or he had a clean shot in the first half. They did score a goal. It was a deflection. But you talk about a side that were on top. I mean, Liverpool were bang average. They couldn't get out their own half. They got out of their own half twice. And they scored once, and Jota had an opportunity that he took a little bit too long. But that was it. So at half-time, I'm delighted. Because I'm telling myself, there's no way Liverpool can play as bad as this in the second half. And they didn't let me down. For the first 20 minutes of the second half, it was absolutely the opposite of the first. Liverpool putting pressure on. World-class goal from Mane. But then the last 20-25, I thought was just a stalemate. Yes, Mahrez has the chance at the end that Matip. You have to give him huge kudos. Otherwise, that would be in the back of the net. But I think Liverpool will absolutely and should be delighted to come away from this game with something and still bang in the title race.
Yo, Pablo, what a game it was, though, hey?
Incredible. We are so lucky to have these two clubs in the Premier League and watching them playing week in, week out with that incredible intensity. Down to Klopp and Pep Guardiola for what they're doing for their respective clubs. I mean, great game. We are so lucky they're also playing FA Cup next week. So, it was a great point. I think both teams, probably Man City has been a slightly better team today, and they probably we should deserve a little bit more. But at the end of the day, it is important not to lose. Still 1 point different between both clubs, and everything depends on Man City.
Just going back to what Craig was talking about and the missed opportunities for City, Nader, after the game, Pep Guardiola did say that he thinks it was a missed opportunity to not come away with 3 points. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I certainly would. I think given the fact that they took the lead twice and they're at home, you'd think they'd be able to manage some of those situations better. And, you know, we look at that second goal for Liverpool to concede within the first minute of the second half, you know, is criminal and for such a big mistake, because that changes the whole tone of the game. Because I felt from that sort of point, City were kind of on the back foot a little bit, because Liverpool, you know, they were going to come out in the second half and play better, but now they had a goal, everything was square, and you could sort of feel a bit more danger coming from them. So I think he's right to be disappointed in some ways, but then in the same breath, you know, for people who were neutral, I'm sure they loved it, because, you know, this is some of the best football they've probably ever seen in the Premier League. But yeah, I think for City, maybe they will see it as a missed opportunity, because they did have some chances and a few half chances which maybe they should have converted or done better with. For example, that Mahrez chance, that could have been such a significant moment in this season, the type of thing where they look back in the last minute of the game, you're through against Liverpool, you do something. But unfortunately, it just wasn't to be. And as Pablo was saying now, you're in a position whereby it's down to City. If City win their games, you know, they're going to win the title. But the fact is, if they slip up but one time, people feeling confident Liverpool are going to be able to do it. So let's see how these next seven games go, because it promises to be very exciting.
Fair result for you, LA? 2-2?
Yeah, I think so.
Manchester City would feel like, yeah, maybe we left some points on the field there. But I think on the balance of the game, 2-2, and most, I think for the most part, what we felt in the second half in those last 25 minutes that you were mentioning there, Steve, is that I think both of them were cautiously optimistic about perhaps winning the game, but not willing to take any chances and say, you know what, look, we're not going to hurt each other here. We'll leave it to the rest of the season and figure out on our own and see what we can do on our end. And then we win our games, you win your games, and then we'll see where we are at the end of the season. Those last 25 minutes, I think both teams decided, you know what, we cannot play with the same set of intensity and quality as we did over the course of the game up until that point. And Pablo mentioned intensity. I like the word quality. What was so very impressive about this game is it was very intense. A lot of decisions, a lot of small details, but all done with high level of quality. And that's what makes these teams so great to watch and so much fun to watch.
During the game, we asked Stevie to give us his player ratings. And this is what he came up with. Some would say he's been a little generous. Obviously, you said De Bruyne, best player on the pitch in this one. I don't know, talk us through why you've given them such high results everywhere.
Well, I thought Foden and Sterling were okay. So that's why they get a 7. Jesus, nobody saw it coming, nobody saw him playing. Pep got it right. Not only did he score his goal, but he was instrumental when Liverpool couldn't get out. And Silva, Rodri and De Bruyne completely bossed this game in the middle of the park for the majority of it, in my opinion, certainly more than Liverpool, with De Bruyne easily the best man on the field, I thought.
So that's your City player ratings.
Yep.
Nate, what do you make of these ratings? I want to pick up on Jesus as well, because as Stevie mentioned, he'd not been in a Premier League first 11 since New Year's Day. So that paid off, didn't it?
Yeah, it certainly did. You know, it's one of those ones where when you see the team come through, people immediately asking questions, because, you know, you're leaving the top scorer on the bench, you're leaving the new signing on the bench. But, you know, he's somebody who's played in these big games before. He's been at City a respectable amount of time now, and he understood the assignment. I think he understood the nature of this game. And so, you know, when I had a sneak peek of those ratings, but I got them after I saw the Liverpool ones, so I was curious as to what Stevie was going to do, but Stevie's top class as always. What a fair, fair man. I understand his process. Top guy, type of person you always want to be on TV with. So, yeah, it's good. And, you know, to just talk about something just quickly, I think Klopp mentioned it. I think in this moment, I think we need to give credit to those players that are out on the field, because you could feel how high pressure the moment was, how much quality was on the field. And it's almost like you make the wrong decision, and not only might it cost you the game, might cost you the title, might cost you momentum, might cost you everything. So for those guys to be out there performing the way that they did under such circumstances, like, you know, it says a lot. The managers are obviously fantastic and all that stuff, but, you know, there's a certain level of personality that needs to be shown on the field. And I think all those players out there, you know, they are incredible, because I know plenty of players that talk about wanting to play that sort of stage. But from what I've seen, I know that many, many would not be able to.
Has he been fair with his assessment, would you say, Craig, those player ratings from Stevie?
Yeah, I think so. I was a bit disappointed at times with Foden and Sterling a little bit. But yeah, I mean, obviously De Bruyne played higher up and, you know, sat on Fabinho, then pulled in behind him at times. Just didn't allow Liverpool to get out through Fabinho or Thiago, and then took up some great spaces, and obviously he's an extremely clever footballer. And in fact, when Jack Grealish came on in the second half, if he'd have been a bit smarter, he'd have put De Bruyne right through towards the last 10 minutes of the game, but he took an extra couple of touches. So he was continually a thorn for Liverpool. So I think both teams had one or two players, maybe Liverpool a bit more, that were slightly off shade today. But yeah, I think, you know, these guys have set such a high standard, and some of Bernardo Silva's little dribbles with the ball were just fantastic to watch.
Let's take a look at how Stevie then rated the Liverpool side, shall we? 10 across the board, was it, Stevie? No,
oh, yes.
Definitely not.
Well, I gave Manny and Jota 8 because they never got a kick, but they both still managed to score, and Jota almost had another chance as well. Salah, had he not played that pass for Mane, he might have got less than 7 because he was buying average. And it's difficult not to look at the middle three and think, where were they? Because they got completely dominated, particularly in the first half. So that's why they all got 6. I thought they were below average. Alexander-Arnold, yes, was involved in Liverpool's goal, but I think Jota was probably the first guy in a red jersey he'd passed to all day when he made that pass. So he I thought, was way off his best. Matty, I mean, you talk about a match saver, because without his touch, Mahrez scores with the last kick of the ball. Other than that, I thought Matip was good. Van Dijk, when was the last time you saw Virgil van Dijk passing a ball out the field? He must have missed Andy Robertson by 15 yards in the first half. I mean, you talk about somebody who didn't look themselves. And I thought Robbo was fine. Yeah, he was solid enough, played a great ball for the goal. I think those marks reflect the kind of standards that Liverpool players have set themselves. And that's why maybe some will go six, but I think that's what they deserved.
And Pablo, you're smiling. Do you think he's rated the players fairly for Liverpool today?
No, I was thinking, Steve, you should give more credit to the right backs. Come on, do you know that?
Oh, he plays for Man City. Walker, apparently, six, he was hitting Alexander blue jerseys all day.
Six.
Six?
With a narcissist.
But did you see
seven at least?
Did you see
what a fullback?
Did you see Jesus' goal?
I thought you were going to leave it out.
Did you see Jesus' goal? I mean, say no more. Come on. Wow.
Craig.
No, I agree.
Yeah, go on, Pablo.
I think you've been good.
All right, he's been good. Craig, do you agree?
He was good. I think I was just laughing because as a fullback, you know, as a right back, especially even Nathan knows that they never give credit to anybody. We always, you know, they're always like that. So at least you give an assist. You're happy with that.
All right, Craig.
I didn't have a choice, did I?
Maybe it was something to do with the four balls that City hit in behind him in the first half when he was. I mean, I feel a bit sorry for Matip at times because Alexander Arnold's such a great footballer, but he's not a brilliant. He gets himself in some really square positions. It's almost like he doesn't know the runners coming in behind him. But I just don't think he's ever going to change. I don't think you're ever going to get that out of his game. It's something I think you just have to live with. The other one was Thiago's. Obviously, look. He's won everything. He's a great footballer technically, but I think when you play against a team like City, who some of their pressing, particularly in the first half an hour, was unbelievable. The intensity, the quickness in which they pass it, and I honestly believe when Liverpool don't have the ball against a team of that stature, he can be a problem. It can be a problem because when he's on the ball, and we saw some of his passing, it's terrific. But when he's not on the ball and Fabinho needs somebody, you know, to be in there alongside him, he's just not your guy. So I think he's more suited, clearly, to when Liverpool are dominating games. And this wasn't one of them. And I think it's probably one of the reasons Stevie gave him, along with the rest, a six.
Let's take a look at the final running for the two sides then, because there's been a lot made of it. The fact that there's what's left to go and how Liverpool, for many, have it harder. We talk about Man City now having to be very, very careful, but that means Liverpool have to be perfect too, Stevie.
Do you know, I was thinking about this earlier.
Okay, here we go.
And it seems a little daft, right?
Oh, here we go.
The difference from chasing to being on top is a completely different mindset.
Right.
When you're chasing, it's full throttle, because you don't have a choice. When you're sat on the top, you've got to make a decision. Do you go full throttle and leave yourself open, or do you try and do it in a calm, organised, confident, clinical way? And so, in some ways, Liverpool can just open the throttle and see you later and get after it. Whereas Man City, as good as they are, there's just that little bit in the back of the mind that we're going, right, we don't need to go crazy here. We look at the schedule and we should be able to beat them. Let's take it easy. Let's just do it in a very clinical manner.
Okay.
Football doesn't work that way.
Because you know he'd find a way, wouldn't you? Okay.
You know
he'd find an angle and how City would just sort of take their foot off the gas. Just a little bit. Somehow, because that's what City do, isn't it? They always take their foot off the gas, City, whenever you watch them play.
Well, they were 14 points ahead at one time, so they've certainly done something. What have they done? They take their foot off the gas.
They haven't taken their foot off the gas.
Well, they're 13 points off the gas.
They had some ropey results, and Liverpool hit some form. So, I don't think City are taking the foot off the gas, but you know, some of these teams both are facing are, I think some of them are still sort of relegation candidates. So as you well know, when you go to a team that are fighting relegation or you've got them at home, they're scrapping for their lives, that's not always as simple as it makes out. I know one of their next games is Wolves. Man United's in there, but Man United are just cannon fodder these days. If they could only play, if they could play Man United every week, even Everton, what the hell's going on? Everton could win a game, Man United pop up.
If we look at the schedule, though, is a chance to bring it up again, because I'd be interested to know from the City half, from you, Nadim, which games you're a bit worried about that could prove to be problematic?
Worried about? All these teams, you know, they're fighting for something, even if it's just pride. So I don't think there's necessarily a sort of sense of worry, because as is the case for City and Liverpool, if you want to win a title, you're going into these games as favourites, and ultimately you have to win them. And to sort of push back a bit against Stevie's thing, this is the time of the season now where, in my opinion, it depends who's playing first. Because before you know it, you say City might take the foot off the gas, but they won't be if they're playing second and Liverpool are now top and they need to win to go back top again. So, you know, you can look at the fixtures and say it's going to go this way, it's going to go that way, it's going to be tough, that's going to be tough. You just never know. And as Craig was alluding to, you know what I mean? Everton, we thought they were the worst team in the Premier League, and then all of a sudden they go and beat the mighty Man United. So I don't think anything should be taken for granted between now and the end of the season.
What's your gut feeling, Pablo? Can City see it through and go all the way, win the Premier League again?
I hope so. I think if they just keep playing the same way, they will have a big chance to win the Premier League. I mean, if you look at the remaining fixture, it's just it looks a little bit more easier for Manchester City. But of course, in the Premier League, no easy games. They just need to continue, you know, playing the same way, same intensity. Champions League could be crucial also. We'll see if both teams go through. But yeah, as I said before, everything depends on Man City. They're still top of the league, so if they choose to keep focused and keep winning games, they will have a chance to win again the Premier League.
Ali, what's going to happen in the title race?
Well, first of all, the fact that it's only a 1-point difference between the two, I think, negates the argument by Stevie. They're both going to have to be full throttle. They have no choice. It's only 1-point difference. They cannot afford to slip up, either one of these teams. Now, the other thing that I would say is, it's on Manchester City, right? And if you're Pep Guardiola, you sell them on that. You talk to these players and you say, you know what? It's us. Never mind Liverpool. Liverpool is no longer part of the discussion. It's about us and what we do. And that, I think, creates a sense of purpose for a team like Manchester City. I'm looking at Manchester City, not hanging on, thriving to the end, finishing strong, full throttle, and finishing this thing off.
What's your thoughts on it, Craig?
City. I could see City dropping some points, but I see the same with Liverpool. I don't think either team will pick up. Is it seven games remaining or whatever it is? I don't think.
Seven games remaining. Seven, yes, correct. Seven.
Yeah, so I think it's unlikely both will pick up 21 points. But I see City just nicking it at the end, just doing enough with the quality they've got.
So, Stevie, the way you were talking about Liverpool, it suggests you think that perhaps it's going to go that way.
No, if I'm a betting man, I put my money on City. They're ahead. They're a great side.
Well, what about the full throttle?
Yeah. Well, again, you smarty pantsies in here. Always like to. Nobody said anything about City take the foot off the pedal either. That was Mr. Burley. So you're all full of comments, aren't you?
Hold on.
No, hold on, nothing. All I said was there's a difference. There's a difference between having to go full throttle from the first to the last because you've got no choice, to maybe trying to do it in a slightly different manner. That's what I said. That's got nothing to do with taking your foot off the pedal or not going full throttle or whatever you're talking about.
Craig?
What?
Have I got in some sort of TARDIS or something? I mean,
well, it looks like it. See that thing behind you? It looks like it's like part of the moon or something. You might be in a TARDIS.
I'm not in charge of decoration in this house for obvious reasons. You've done some backtracking over the years on this show. None as quickly as about 4 minutes.
Yeah, absolute nonsense. I'd rather be sitting on top of the Premier League. Then I would be the one that would have to think about it.
No, because it's right, easier when you're not sitting top, isn't it?
I'll give you 5 minutes ago. I'll give you five. 5 minutes ago, you were sitting in that chair and you were sitting going, do you know what? Do you know what? City, top of the league. They just switch off for a second.
See, again, and you're making stuff up.
Wait, didn't he say it's better
making,
to be...
You're making up nonsense.
Right.
Who said switch
you
off?
You said it's better to
did
be chasing.
Did I say switch
you
off?
You said it's better to be chasing.
Did I say switch off?
Maybe
and
not
again,
that. But you
I
said it's better
it's
to
better.
Be chasing.
I said sometimes it may be better because you don't have a choice. Manchester City have got a choice.
Sounds like he's backpedaling.
Liverpool's got no choice.
The great thing is we get to talk about this fixture all over again because it's happening again next week.
I can't believe you started making things up and all.
We'll be building up to it on ESPNFC, which is available daily.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What a wild game it was at the Ciutat de Valencia. Barcelona winning at the death 3-2. José Luis Morales had put Levante ahead. There'd been a missed penalty for Levante after that. José Luis Morales' goal was a penalty. Aubameyang got them back in it. Then Pedri and Gavi, who came on, combined to put Barca ahead. Another penalty for Levante from Gonzalo Melero made it 2-2. But at the death, it was Luke de Jong who sealed all 3 points at 90+2. That means Barcelona are now 12 back of Real Madrid, one game in hand as well on their rivals. They've leapfrogged Sevilla in the table back into second, and things are looking a little bit more interesting in La Liga. But what a game this was. Pablo Zabaleta, tell us your thoughts on it.
What a great second half, I have to say. It's been really entertaining football from both teams. I think Xavi got it right with the subs. We spoke at halftime how important it was for Xavi to bring players like Pedri, Gavi, to bring some creativity in the final third, to have to combine between them. I think they made really a big impact into the game. And then with Luke de Jong, and for the last 10 minutes of the game, to have a winner with a great header. So it was a great game, I have to say, and great 3 points for Barcelona to reduce the gap. They still have a game in hand. So let's see what we can see with that final and for La Liga.
I think it's important for those 3 points, as Pablo was saying, more so because of what we've seen in this game, particularly in the first half, Ali, and then in the game against Eintracht Frankfurt too.
So it's about the feel of Barcelona and the feeling within that locker room as they come up to a very important week in the return leg of Eintracht Frankfurt. They had a difficult game against Eintracht Frankfurt in the first leg, no doubt about it. The first half today was even worse, and we mentioned that at halftime. That there were all sorts of questions about this team as to whether they were going to be able to match the intensity of Levante. Second half starts and you think, well, at the very least, we know that Xavi would have gone into halftime and would have laid into his team. And yet it is Levante that get not only one penalty, but a second penalty. And that's where the game changes, in that Levante allow Barcelona to stay alive. In the moment in which Barcelona were really struggling, guess what? They missed the second penalty, and now there is life where there was none before. The introduction of Pedri, the introduction of Gavi, changed the makeup of the team in the midfield, gave the creativity and the impact that Xavi was looking for and that Pablo just alluded to. They scored a couple of goals very close to each other. Great execution in the attacking half, in the final third, service from Dembele, as well as the service and individual play from Gavi and the finish from Pedri. And you think, okay, well, here we go. Barcelona are going to run away with this. We were talking about it. Well, this is going to end up 3-1. Not so much, because they lost control of the game once again. So I think for Xavi, what you take out of this match is, let's be about the glass being half full. We won the game even though we had difficulties playing the game. And it's a lot easier to continue to build when you're winning. And this is exactly what Xavi must do. In a way, he's going to get the attention of his players automatically because of the poor performance. But then he's going to be able to say, hey, even when we're not playing well, we're still good enough to pull out results because of our character, because of our intensity, because of what we did in the second half to fight. Just to fight enough to get the 3 points.
And with Xavi, Pablo, you've got to say that obviously there's been a really good feeling behind Barcelona since he came back. And after winning today's game, that will be there again as we just see what it meant to him. But we have to remind ourselves that this is still a work in progress. What are the areas that need fixing at Barcelona?
Well, I think defensively they've not been great. I mean, they look really dangerous going forward. They have so much quality up front. Player who can actually make a difference by running in behind with Pedri, Gavi, in midfield, keeping the ball, passing the ball well. But I think defensively they need to do a lot better if they want to be a successful team. No Piqué today. I mean, Araujo and Garcia didn't really look that partnership well enough. Jordi Alba doing well. Alves, which is, you know, got experience and all that, but he's 38, so probably need to look at fix defensively more solid if they want to win something this season.
What about Pedri and Gavi, though, coming on and combining as they did, Ale, and just looking at the future there, but also Xavi having to get this right, having to know when he does rest Pedri, but when he's really needed, as we saw today?
The difference and the contrast between the look that we saw from Barcelona in the first half and what we saw in the second half when those guys came in, it's dramatic. You can just tell the team has a different energy about them when these guys are on the ball and when they're on the field. And what they do when the ball at their feet is magical. The productivity, magical. But then the energy to cover spaces as well and to help defend. A guy like Sergio Busquets needs people around him that can also cover the ground and are willing to press together and are willing to regain possession in the attacking half. That wasn't happening in the first half. So that element of energy, of youth, of legs that you get with Gavi and with Pedri, if you then add productivity with final touch, with final pass, with goals, then you get the full package. And that's what we're seeing from Pedri in particular. Gavi was outstanding today as well. That energy, those younger legs, you can tell that Barcelona need them. And today, Xavi needed them, he used them, and they came up with the result.
Stevie, what a turnaround it's been for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang since coming to Barcelona.
How do you explain that? Because we knew that he was capable of scoring goals. But at Arsenal, certainly at the end of his spell at Arsenal, he didn't even look like a footballer, never mind a goal scorer. And so it just shows you that when you get pretty much reborn, because this guy's pretty much been reborn since he's gone to Barca, a combination of good experienced players around you and a combination of kids who look as though they're playing in the schoolyard, and all of a sudden playing football becomes fun again. And when it becomes fun, everything becomes easier. And so you're actually playing off instinct as much as anything else. And his instinct, as we've seen both at Borussia and at times at Arsenal, his instinct is to put the ball in the back of the net. That's what he's doing right now.
He wasn't having fun in the first half, I'll tell you that much, because they needed him to hold the ball up because they were under pressure. He was having difficulties doing that. But what I would say is, when you put him inside the 18-yard box in moments in which he can finish opportunities, we have seen that with Barcelona, he has been better than they would have thought they were getting. Honestly, when I look at Aubameyang, they went to get him because they were desperate, because they were dependent on Luke de Jong. And isn't it funny that today when Aubameyang is struggling, he scores a goal, and also Luke de Jong, coming off the bench, scores a goal as well. Xavi looks like a genius.
We'll talk about another player when we talk about turnarounds. What about Ousmane Dembele? Look at this, 11 assists in 14 games. What can we put this down to, Ale?
Come on, Ale, tell the truth.
A couple of things that are happening here with Ousmane Dembele. The fact that you have now direct competition with Adama Traore, which they acquire in the January transfer window, tells him that if he's not willing to do the job, there's somebody else who can step in and do it for him. And then the other thing is contract year. He knows he's playing for a contract, whether that's for Barcelona or somebody else. He is showing himself to Barcelona and the world. And let me tell you, there's nothing more motivating for a player than contract year.
I wonder why Pablo is smiling. Pablo, would you care to tell us?
No, I have to agree with Ali. I think as a football player, you know, it's kind of selfishness that always at the end of when you know that you're going to be a free agent at the end of the season, you want to show that I'm playing for a new contract, you know. And I think Dembele, we all know how good he is as a player. He probably been unlucky with injuries at the beginning of the season, but now last 6 months, you know, he just want to say, okay, let me show you how good I am and then give me a new contract. I'm asking for the big money. I don't know, Barcelona, financially, I don't know if they will can afford to give him a big contract. But if it's not Barcelona, someone else will come and we'll give him, for sure, a big contract. And that is what he wants.
All right, let's take a look then at how the standings are looking at the bottom half of the table. Levante only pulled themselves off the bottom with their win over Villarreal last time out before this game, and they're not managing to get much further after today's result, which definitely went against them in the end, with Barcelona winning 3-2 at the death. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com. Here's a look at the Serie A standings. Milan tying with Torino 0-0, but Napoli getting caught out by Fiorentina. We've seen this before when Napoli are in with a chance and in with a title race, for Fiorentina spoiling their chances. Gab Marcotti with us now. What's the big takeaway story of the day then, Gab? Is it that one with Napoli?
Well, it's also Milan dropping points. Kay, this is an incredible title race that we have on our hands. Inter, of course, with the game in hand. Milan, for the second time in a week after their draw on Monday against Bologna, dropping points again. On Monday, they had 33 shots on goal. Here, a lot fewer than them. Torino actually played pretty well. Milan, I felt, really struggling to get through. Also, Torino led by the one-man gang, the big bad Bremer at the back. Napoli dropping points, that was pretty remarkable because Napoli were at home. This season, they've lost 5 of 6 at home. If you want to know why they're not top of the table, that's why, against the Fiorentina side, who are very much on fire. Two teams that I thought actually both played pretty well, but it was simply Fiorentina, so much firepower, led by Nico Gonzalez in this one, going 3-1 up. Napoli couldn't get back into the game and eventually lost 3-2.
So given two of the twists and turns that we've seen this weekend, Gab, who are your favourites at this point for the title?
Well, there's that big asterisk next to Inter, which tells you that they have a game in hand. They're certainly the form team. I thought they played very well yesterday in their 2-0 win. If they win that game in hand, they're top. But it's a one-point lead, and they still have to win that game in hand. And it's difficult. And you've got Coppa Italia derbies in the running, and there's still so much to play for. So, again, gun to my head, I'm going to go with the team that's on top. That's kind of been my policy. I'm still going to say Milan. They can't be as poor. They've dropped, like I said, they should have been runaway leaders at this point. They've dropped 4 points in the space of this week. But for now, I think they still shade it. But, okay, everything is out in the air. And I will probably give you a different answer next week when you ask me again.
Or maybe on the Gab and Jules podcast when you're talking about the Serie A title race with Jules in his lovely long-sleeved Inter shirt that he was very happy about. Gab and Jules podcast available wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, will he go? It's not the same player. It's Roger who's going to take this. Big moment here.
Save from Ter Stegen. An escape for Barcelona. This is Jordi Alba. Alba finds it to Pedri. To Dembele. Good ball from Dembele. Barca are back. Superbly taken by Aubameyang. Only as far as Gavi. Oh, Gavi weaves his way. What fantastic footwork. Oh, the kids have done it. Gavi creates. Pedri scores. Two teenage tearaways have turned the game on its head.
Well, let's talk about the brilliance of those two players. Gavi to go past his man to start with, then to pick out the right pass, and then the technique of Pedri.
Paul De Jong! He's done it again! He is turning into a cult hero! Luke De Jong has been sitting in the shadows for weeks, and when he's in the spotlight, he emerges as a match-winning hero!
What a game it turned out to be as we take a look at Barcelona since Xavi came in. 27 games, it's 16-7-4 in that time, 53 goals scored at 29 conceded so far. We had that game for you here today on ESPN. Afterwards, our Gemma Soler, who was at the stadium, managed to catch up with goal scorers Aubameyang, but first, Luke de Jong.
Miracle man, Luke de Jong, congratulations on that amazing goal. How are you?
Yeah, thank you. I think, I can repeat another thing I said. You know, I'm just want to be ready for the team whenever they need me, and I come in and I score the winning goal. It's a great feeling, of course, to get the 3 points here because it was a really difficult game for us today.
Yeah, you've done it many times, and you really had short minutes today to try to have the chances. What crossed your mind in that moment?
Yeah, it crosses my mind. Of course, I'm on the bench. And I'm a player, I want to play always, you know, every game. But if not, I'll just be ready for the minutes I get. And then, there were not a lot of minutes, but I knew I just have to be sharp in front of the goal. And I had this little short connection with Jordi Alba before the goal. He said, the next ball I get, go first post. And I just went to the first post and he gave it perfectly and I had it in. Yeah, it's really nice.
What did Xavi said to you just before going out of the bench to field?
I think it was meant to be that I went in before the 2-2. Before the penalty came, I was already ready to come in. And then they made the 2-2 out of the penalty. So, it changes the plan directly because he said, try to make a goal, try to be in the box. And before he said, try to hold the ball up front and flick it on to the wingers because Levante, they were playing really high, you know, one against one in the back. So there were opportunities, but at the end they scored a 2-2. So I had to come in and, luckily I could make the winning goal.
It was not a really good game for Barcelona. I don't know if it can be a warning for what is happening on Thursday. What do you think is the problem with the team? Are you maybe a little bit tired or what's happening?
I also need to give the compliments to Levante. They also played a good game with a lot of intensity, a lot of courage. You know, they went forward and tried to press us, but we should do better, of course. And I don't know what it is. If we're tired or we're just a little bit lacking of concentration sometimes, we can do definitely better. And that's what we know. And luckily we won the game today. But we still need to talk about these things we did today. That it has to be better, especially on Thursday, because it's going to be another big game in Europa League.
Do you think yourself and your team proved that you will fight La Liga until the very last minute?
Of course we will, but. I think it's difficult, you know, the gap is big, but you always have to be ready for these small moments that will come, and maybe some things happen. In football, everything can happen, but it's tough. We just need to keep working every game, and the Europa League is a nice thing to win, but also the league, we want to finish as high as possible and reach for the Champions League, of course.
Congratulations, miracle goal, man.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. With Aubameyang, what an amazing win at the very last minute. How did you leave it?
Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy game with 3 penalties. It was a hard game, tough game. We felt a bit of intensity in the first half, but in the second half we did well. And as well, the guys that came in did the difference, so we are so happy to win this game.
What do you think about the referee? These 3 penalties against you? You were complaining a lot at the last 10 minutes.
I think so. It was... You know, it's always tough when there is 3 penalties in a row. But that's it. When he has whistle, I think we just have to accept it and try to give the best to win the game.
And to fight until the very last minute, you participated with you went back to score again. How was that goal? Can you describe?
Yes, I know well Usman. I know when he's going on the right side. I just have to be ready, and I was prepared, and I had scored that goal, so I was happy to score.
And what about Luke de Jong? He's like the miracle man goal, and he's doing that at the very last minute always.
Yeah, crazy. We are so happy. I think he deserves it because he works a lot, and we are all happy that he scored today, and this is a delivery for us at the last minute, so we are all happy.
Does this show that Barcelona are going to fight La Liga until the very last minute like you did today?
Obviously, we will fight till the end. We will fight every game. I think the most important is to focus on us and try to win every game till the end.
Is this game a warning on how difficult it's going to be with the same system against Eintracht Frankfurt?
Yes, definitely, yes. We knew it. And as I said, in the first half, we missed intensity. But in the second half, we did much better. I think the coach spoke to us in the dressing room, and it was, I think, important. He said to us that we have to put more intensity to go for it, to win the games, to give everything. And even if we are tired, then we can go out, but you have to give everything.
This intensity problem, you think you can solve it for Thursday with...
Yeah, definitely, yes. We know exactly what we have to do. And we will have something more. We have the fans with us, so it's going to bring us something more to go and win the game.
Congratulations on the win and the goal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Barcelona taking second spot back with that win, leapfrogging Sevilla, and going into that game, as we just heard Gemma talking to the players about, against Eintracht Frankfurt on the back of a win, which is very important for them. But Gemma, you were very honest and open with the players when you were talking there. It obviously wasn't the best Barcelona that we did see. But what was the feeling you got on the mood afterwards in the mix zone and the players coming from the dressing room? Was it a positive one?
Hola, Kay. Yes, you know this stadium, the mix zone where we do the interviews, is really just next to the locker room. So I could watch the players get into the locker room, the way they were hugging, the way they were celebrating, the way they believed as well. I could feel this is a very important win for the team, because I think they struggled so much, and at some point, they were thinking they were not getting the 3 points, and that means that the Liga fight is over. Even though it's very, very difficult, they are still trying at least to fight until the very last minute. It was a feeling of they've just done something important, and that they did that because of mentality. This is actually what Xavi highlighted after the game, that the winning mentality of this team, I think that's one of the most important things Xavi brought to this team, this kind of positivity and the feeling that they can do it. But I think we have to be honest, it was another poor game of Barcelona, especially in the first half. It's the same feeling we had against Eintracht Frankfurt, and I think Xavi and the players are worried that on Thursday it's going to be really tough with a team that it has more physical power, it's got the same system, and they have to play a really brilliant game to try to be in the next round of the Europa League.
If Barcelona weren't at the best, one player who we always know is when he comes onto the pitch is Pedri. That's two straight weeks you've been there pitch side, Gemma, and seen his brilliance firsthand.
Yeah, he's a different player. He's a player touched by a magical bar, something amazing. We started having the feeling last season that he was something different. It's kind of unfair to compare him with names. Sometimes we compare him with Iniesta, but he's got something special today. Once again, out of the bench, he was resting today because since he was. Back on track after being injured, he played all the games, and just two of them coming off the bench. So he was playing a lot. Xavi was trying to take care of him, thinking on Thursday, but that thing was not working, so he had to do something, and he put a game changer like Pedri. And I think he's that. He's a different player. He's a game changer. He knows exactly what to do in what moment. And I think the best way to describe him is what his former coach, Pepe Mel, did when he was playing in the Unión Deportiva Las Palmas, and he was a humble player. He still is one. He said, there's a rich man, there's a millionaire, and he still doesn't know it. Well, I think he is that, and he still doesn't know he's a millionaire, but he's a different player, and he is inspiring so much his team. There is a Barcelona when Pedri is on the field, and there is a Barcelona when he is not inspiring, and we could feel that at the beginning of the season where he was injured.
Yeah, we certainly expect to see him from the start on Thursday. Will you be at the game on Thursday, Gemma?
No, I'm not. I'm doing the Champions, both the games in Madrid of the Champions League, and I think I won't be able to get it there. So
yeah, you'll be missed, but it's great to have you here with us today on FC, as always. Thanks for all your work, pitchside. Brilliant to have you with us. Eintracht Frankfurt, Barcelona, 1-1 after the first leg in the quarterfinals. It comes back to the Camp Nou on Thursday. And as you just saw, they're going to have to step things up if they're to come away with this one and progress. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well done to all of you for sticking with us throughout today's show. We've had a lot to get through and you've been with us all the way. So why not stay with us a little bit longer, because these guys will be answering your questions, Nadim and Gab too, on Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We have Ali Moreno, Stevie Nicol, Nadim Anua, and also Gab Marcotti along for the ride today. And we've had many questions off you. Let's say Nadim. Nadim's here too. All right. We're going
to
start.
You seem to be asking.
I said his name and then the producer didn't think I'd said his name.
I was just letting everybody know I did say his name.
I forgot his name earlier though, so that's why the producer was worried. I didn't forget your name, Nadim. I just forgot you were on this.
Can you ask Gab what that white thing was on his head earlier?
Gab, what was the white thing on your head earlier?
Because it's not there now.
Because it's not there now. I don't know. I don't remember a white thing earlier.
I don't know.
You had a piece of white stuff on your hair,
right?
Could
be ghosts of some kind. You have to realize, Kay, I'm not actually supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be on holiday. I'm supposed to be hiking the Grand Canyon as we speak. Unfortunately, one of my family members, one of my kids, got COVID the day before flying, and that's why I'm stuck here in the sceptered aisle.
But
I didn't get to watch.
But you get to be with us.
City and Liverpool, so that's not too bad.
You get to be.
I get to be with you. There you go.
Will you be on the Gab and Jules podcast now that you're sticking around anyway?
Oh man. Well, actually, I'm going to let you in on something. Mark Ogden was scheduled to fill in for me, but then I just thought it was such a great game. Jules thought the same, and they said, Mark can find something negative in everything. So to balance it out, he will be there, but so will I. And hopefully I'll dial down the negativity there.
Hey, deal.
Can I just say, he was going to go on vacation. Just go on vacation, even if you're not
Gab.
Coming over this
way. Put the ball away, Gab.
Yeah, do something else. But regardless, this gives Jules an opportunity to talk. So he thought, now Gab is back. Now Jules won't be able to talk.
Well, like, what about inviting Mark Ogden and not Nadim? How do you feel about that, Nadim?
controversy.
I'm all right. I'm all right, to be honest. Everyone forget me anyway, so let's not even worry about that.
Didn't forget you. I forgot how many people we had on extra time. All right, here we go. Ali, is Pedri the new Messi for Barca, and where will Ansu Fati play when he's back?
Good question. There doesn't seem to be a space for Ansu Fati right now, and I don't think that's happening anytime soon. However, it is a good option to have off the bench, and it's yet another player that Xavi can turn to and say, okay, this guy can give me something different. As for Pedri, I love me some Pedri. Nobody loves Pedri more than I do.
I mean, you'd swap your son for him.
Yes.
So.
Yes, I would.
Sorry? He's literally said more than once on this show he would swap his son for Pedri.
Yes.
Which one?
See, you know what I'm talking about. See, TV, you know my, you see my point now.
I just wonder which one would be, is going to be more disappointing.
Yeah. But not the same kind of player, first of all. And second of all, let's just calm down a bit. Let's just allow him to continue to become the player we think that he can become. He's already fantastic. He's already one of a kind. He's already a natural. But let's continue to see the development before we go crazy.
I'm going to let Nadim go first because Stevie and Nadim have been asked the next question, but I want Nadim to know that there's no hard feelings. It's nothing personal, and I've not got anything against you.
You know what you're doing right now, Kay? It's like when a referee gets a call wrong, and then you feel like you have to even out. So that's the worst thing you could do. I'm just saying. Now everybody feels like, well, is she making the right call or is she not?
Well, let's see what his answer is, and then okay. We'll see if it's the right call. All right. Stevie and Nadim. Nadim first. When playing against a player that is moving freely around the pitch like De Bruyne, how do you keep track of him and stop him?
Do you know, I think De Bruyne is such a special talent, such a special player, and like, even when he's moving around, like he's a strong runner, he tends to run away from people, but he's also got a good size, he's physical, he's got the eye for a pass. And I think ultimately, you know, you just need to make sure your communication's on point, because there's going to be a lot of times when you're passing him over to other people. And I think if you have a collection of players who are sort of tuned in to understanding that he's going here, he's going there, then you can try and make it harder for him. But I'll be honest with you, as a defender, you try and do your best to make sure that somebody has to earn the right to score or earn the right to do something special. And very rarely can you guarantee that you'll stop them. And I think Kevin De Bruyne, if I'm as good as he is, you know, you just try your best and hope that he doesn't have a day like he kind of had today.
Stevie?
Well, you keep track of him by staying goal side at all times. And you don't necessarily have to stop him. What you want to try and do is try and ferry him somewhere where you've got numbers, or ferry him away from the goal, or just hold him up so that you can get other players around you to help you out. And also, if you hold them up, then the other spaces hopefully should close as well around the field.
Easy peasy.
So sometimes stopping them is... You're doing him a favour if you try and stop him, because he's pretty good and he might go past you.
Right. Stevie, when you were a manager, did you ever have a relationship with a manager from a rival team like the relationship Klopp and Guardiola have?
Yeah, I had that with Dominic Kinnear. Yeah, we were playing, we played the MLS Cup final down in Dallas, the last one, and we were both walking back on at half time. And I remember somebody in the press coming up to me and ask him what we were talking about. I said, well, to be honest with you, I said, he told me a joke, and I told him a joke. And we had a laugh, and then we sat down and got ready for the second half. That was it.
And they didn't believe it.
They didn't believe it, no.
What are we going to do today?
No, exactly. Yeah. They were like, oh, I wonder what you're talking about in such a big game, such an important moment, you know, were you trying to suss each other out? I was like, oh, no, I said, we told each other a joke. That was it.
What do you think of how close those two seem to be, Klopp and Guardiola? Are you surprised to see it, or is it just complete mutual respect because of what we're seeing
from
the two teams?
It's mutual respect. They both figured, they both understand, they've both got great size, and they both understand that on any given day, either team can win. So, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Well, we're talking about when players are talking and managers are talking. I always remember you telling me when you were asked, what are players talking about when it comes to the free kick being taken? And it wasn't what I expected, the answer.
No. So you'll have three people around the ball, right? And generally, there's guaranteed it's probably the one guy. Mm. There's always a number two, there's always a co-pilot, but then there's always a stewardess appears, right? And it's one of them. What are you doing here? Go away. And they go, I don't care. And then off they go.
So it's not to try and fool everyone.
No, somebody's like, I'm going to take it today. I fancy it. I'm playing well.
There's always that person.
And then it's... they always get shot down in flames pretty quickly.
Nadim, buy, sell or keep? Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva and Yaya Toure.
What?
At the peak, not now.
At the peaks? Oh, my goodness. Buy, sell or keep, you say?
Buy, sell or keep.
I think for me, this is crazy because he's actually got a statue outside the stadium. I think I'd have to go sell David Silva, even though he's incredible. The reason I say that is because I would buy KDB, keep Yaya, because I think for those two, if they play anywhere near their best, then the game is a far different situation for Man City. So I think for David, for as good as he was, and by good I mean incredible, you know, I don't think he could necessarily, like, just be the difference all the time. I think he was just an absolutely incredible footballer. But those other two, their ceiling is just so, so high. But yeah, I think I'd have to buy KDB and keep Yaya.
Okay.
Wow.
Gab's smiling away with your answer there, Nadim. Gab?
No, I was just wrapping around the dynamics of buy, sell, or keep. It kind of depends on who you already have. If
that's what I thought. It should have been play, bench, and sell, right?
That would have been. Yeah. Look, if only we had somebody who could make this decision and was in a position to ask the questions and have editing power.
I'm asking the questions they asked.
Maybe
they'll come and tell me off again. That's not what I asked.
Wow. That's what they do?
Would it change if it was that way around, Nadim? If it was play, like start, bench, or sell?
It's the same answer, isn't it?
It would end up being the same answer, but right. It's like heartbreaking because David Silva is incredible. But yeah, these things are torturous, to be honest. But there
because
we go.
Because the buy and the keep is...
Well, we still.
No, but...
Same answer. What was your question?
No, then you can say start, bench or sell.
Yes.
Right.
Right, so you have to start...
So you're still selling Silva.
Okay.
You're starting Kevin. And you're benching Yaya. It's the same answer.
But it was a hypothetical because Gab was saying, how do you know who was already on your team?
But you know the three of them are on your team.
No, because you have to buy somebody.
No, but if one's benched and you're selling one and keeping one, then the three of them are on your team.
Don't start confusing me. You can't
sell somebody that's
not on
your
team. You know why he's annoyed? He's annoyed.
I tell you what, we're going to sell that. That's Mohamed Salah. We're going to sell him.
He's annoyed because I picked him up earlier and backed Craig Burley on a little debate.
Yeah, how dare you?
I know, I'm sorry, Stevie. Especially because Stevie brings me British chocolate in. Wow. You know, I should always be siding with him.
Yeah, change that to Brot.
Brought.
Yeah, because I don't think anything more.
All right, Gab, with reports about Jorginho and Juve, would both clubs benefit from this move? Juve to continue to be more pragmatic under Allegri and Chelsea to actually play a little quicker?
I don't like this deal for either team, actually. I don't buy this idea that Jorginho is this great evil who slows everything down and gets Chelsea to play slower, quicker. I mean, last time I checked, they won a Champions League with Jorginho. And I think at this stage, also from Chelsea's perspective, I wouldn't be surprised if next season, especially if they bring somebody else in midfield, you know, Jorginho becomes more of a situational player. A guy you play in certain games, maybe in games when, you know, the opposition sits and parks the bus or whatnot. And, from Juve's perspective, no, I don't think this would be a good move. I think Juve are pushing for younger players. Jorginho still will cost you a lot in wages. I think they like Zaccaria. They like Locatelli. Neither one is necessarily the deep-lying playmaker, blah, 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 who touches the ball a million times. But guess what? You don't necessarily need to play one, to play with one, to be effective. And I think that's the direction which they're headed.
Isn't it amazing with Jorginho that less than a year ago there were people clamoring for him to get the Ballon d'Or, that he had to be because Italy won the Euros and so on and so forth, and how successful he had been with Chelsea, that he had to be the guy. And again, less than a year later, they don't know what to do with him in Chelsea and doesn't seem to be part of the plans of the future. How do we get a player in a position where we put him in such a pedestal and then we say, no, he's not good enough anymore? Maybe he wasn't that good to begin with.
Nadim?
I was going to say, I think the turning point for me was when there was a game and he was trying to run back from a corner or something and the referee was running past him. So I think that was probably the time when there were a few red flags that were being waved in the air because he couldn't outrun the referee.
I still love you, Jorginho. All right, Stevie, which was a better January signing, Kulusevski or Luis Diaz?
Oh, come on.
Take a deep breath.
You know the answer.
It's a loaded question.
Okay.
In the long run, it's going to be Luis Diaz. But right in the short term, Kulusevski's doing a great job for Tottenham. But in the long run, Diaz is going to end up being better than Kulusevski.
How do you know that?
You mean, how do I know?
You just said it, but in the long run, he's going to end up
in the back garden that I go and look at every Saturday.
Gab, why are you laughing?
No, it's just funny because, I see where he's coming from. And if you talk about, long run, the one thing which gets me about Liverpool is, for Luis Diaz to be a better signing than Kulusevski in the long run, he has to start regularly. For him to start regularly would imply that one of Salah or Mane are going to be gone, right? And that's something nobody wants to see. Otherwise, he'll still be the guy coming off the bench and playing only in certain games, right?
Well, the argument is Kulusevski is only playing because the guy in front, the guy who's against them for the position is not very good. So Luis Diaz doesn't have to start every game to be a better player than Kulusevski.
We're not talking about who the better player, we're talking about who the better signing is, right? So if a player doesn't play, he's not contributing, right?
Right, so if the better signing, as we're talking about right now, then it's Kulusevski because he's scoring some goals and he's playing more than Luis Diaz, but I mean, if you're going to judge two players over a period of time, I think you'll find that Luis Diaz is going to be a better player than Kulusevski.
Luis Diaz is 4 years older. Okay, no, that's fine. That's okay. I didn't realize Kulusevski's future was all mapped out.
It depends on how you take the question. I mean, at the end of the day, depends on how you take the question. If you're saying who's had the best career over the last 3 months. Is that what the question is?
I guess what I'm saying is, I love the Luis Diaz signing. I think it's tremendous. And one of the reasons I love the Luis Diaz signing is it takes the pressure off throwing all the money in the world at Salah and Mane. So if they stay, it's going to be on Liverpool's terms. It's not like they have to re-sign them and extend both of them at all costs, right? But for Luis Diaz to become a regular, we agree Salah and Mane are better players, right? So for him to actually shine, other than ensuring that you get Salah and Mane at a price that you're comfortable with, one of those two would have to go if he's going to outlast Kulusevski, who is younger and is a full-time starter right now and contributing.
Well, if you want to start throwing ifs and ands,
that's what I thought was interesting about it.
If you want to throw ifs and ands and buts in, then Salah and Mane might not be here in 12 months or 16 months.
This could go on all night. I'm going to stop it now.
If you want to start the hypothetical stuff, then I'm your man.
You've been very argumentative today, Stevie Nicol.
The good thing is that it seems like both of you are willing to yield. Yeah.
The good thing is we have some bonus content from earlier.
Okay. Oh,
yeah,
there it is.
There it is. There's the white thing. Gab, you see it?
You were talking like it was like a big white hat on his head. Yeah,
I mean, it's noticeable.
What do you mean? You saw it straight away, right?
I did now.
Can Gab see it?
Can Gab see the white thing on his head?
No, I just see frozen.
But look at what?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you just see the white thing on your head?
No.
I think that's ectoplasm.
This is the flight of the bumblebees. This is the music you want.
Oh, it's the flight of the bumblebees. What's that?
Look at the concern in Gab's face.
Yeah. Gab, did you see it?
Yeah, it's magically gone.
Yeah.
It magically went. So not only does Steve see the tiniest piece of white in people's hair, he also sees the future.
See?
This we have established on today's Extra Time. That's all we've got time for.
Man of many talents.
Steve is going to now tell me who I should be betting on for the World Cup and what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
Bring your umbrella.